You're listening to the Children's Hour. We're learning about animation with our intern, Daniel.
From the 1920s to the 1950s, Walt Disney Productions worked to revolutionize the animation industry. With films like Snow White, Pinocchio, Dumbo, and Fantasia, Disney pioneered Technicolor technology, which expanded past black and white films. They created structure and work practices to make higher quality films faster. And they created techniques still used by artists today to make their characters move in appealing ways. However, the 1950s saw the rise of television. The television, which really isn't that old, allowed cartoons to be shown not just in the theater, but in our homes. And now, suddenly, Disney had a lot more competition in the business of laughter. The company Fleischer Studios had been making short cartoons for the theater long before the invention of television, animating characters such as Popeye and Superman, but Betty Boop became one of the first animated characters on television.
I want to hear a story.
All right. Come here, sit on my lap and I'll tell you a story.
Many of the studios and animators who made the jump to television from the 50s to 80s got their start like Fleischer Studios, making animated shorts that would often play before feature films. And this is true of one of animation's most iconic duos, William Denby Hanna and Joseph Roland Barbera, who together formed Hanna-Barbera Productions, the company which made The Flintstones, The Jetsons, the original Scooby-Doo and Smurf TV shows, Yogi Bear, and so much more. With their first huge success, an Academy-nominated animation that starred a grumpy gray cat and a small brown mouse getting into silly slapstick action, two characters who would eventually become the Tom and Jerry that we still love today. While Hanna-Barbera Production is known for their wide array of characters they created, they were also heavily influential through their use of limited animation techniques. To do this, they often reused animation cells or backgrounds. So, if they, say, needed Tom to run across the same room in two different episodes, they could simply reuse some of the same animation cycles. Furthermore, Hanna-Barbera Productions also made heavy use of simple character designs that could be animated in many separate parts. The Hanna-Barbera studio would continue to produce its own hilarious animated films and shows until they were bought and merged with Warner Brothers Animations, who you might know as the creator of Looney Tunes, Batman the Animated Series, The Iron Giant, Animaniacs, and more. Just like Hanna-Barbera, Warner Brothers Productions began their animation journey by creating short animated films that featured many of the characters who would star in the original Looney Tunes TV show. You know Bugs Bunny, don't you?
What's up, Doc?
That mischievous little rabbit, always finding himself in ridiculous situations and coming up with hilarious solutions to get out of them. Where did Warner Brothers come up with all their hilarious gags for the Looney Tunes group? Well, actually, the answer to that question is really quite simple. Because characters like Bugs, Daffy, Elmer Fudd, and more were actually based on the silent film actors such as Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, and more. The films of the 1920s were dominated by silent film actors who spent years getting better and better at slapstick and visual comedy. Because they could not speak in film, visual comedy was all they could do. And these humorous gags, tripping over ropes, running into walls, all came from these silent films and worked perfectly in the exaggerated and loony world of animation. Animation has always tried to both imitate live-action films and the real world. Because of this, silent film actors influenced animated comedy, real scientific principles influenced how they move, and directors such as Akira Kurosawa created the modern ways that we film, direct, and edit our movies, both live-action and animated. And I mention him because people say that every frame in Akira Kurosawa's movies could be a painting. And animators realized that they could do just that. Next, we'll cover how computers influenced animation and changed everything. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and we've got a lot more coming up.
That's Daniel, our intern, and he's helping us understand the world of animation. You can learn more and find our playlist at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Animation. Coming up next is from the album I've Got Imagination. This is the title track by Rachel Sumner, right here on the Children's Hour.
Like a silly goose. My arms feel flappy and my legs are loose. I'm a honking and a tonking in a wacky way. I'm having lots of fun and it's okay. I've got imagination.
Imagination.
I've got imagination.
Imagination.
Everybody has one. No one's is the same. I've got imagination. Down like a kangaroo, or dance the monkey and the boogaloo. I'm wild, I'm outrageous, I'm a crazy thing. If anybody doubts it, I just start to sing. I've got imagination.
Imagination.
I've got
imagination.
Everybody has one, no one's is the same. I've got picture, you think it's cool, you hold it up to show the kids at school. Billy Bobo says, what's wrong with you? Your trees are purple and the cat is blue. Say, I've got a imagination.
Imagination.
I've got a imagination.
Imagination.
Everybody has one. I've got imagination. Woo! Do you know that when people daydream, they use their imaginations? And did you know that when you paint, you use your imagination? You could be an actor every day of your life just by using your imagination. Isn't that cool? Imagination. Everybody has one, no one's is the same. I've got imagination. Imagination.
Imagination.
I've got imagination. Everybody has one, no one's is the same. I've got imagination.
The year is 1984. And you're watching a 15-minute-long short film titled The Magic Egg. But what you saw in front of you didn't look like any cartoon you had seen before. What you found were brightly colored ribbons that morphed into steps, magical sparkles, a planet, a train, not drawn, but rendered in 3D. Because with the creation of computers, animation would go through a massive change once again. Before The Magic Egg in Montreal, Canada, a group of college professors created a short film called Dream Flight, which included a primitive animated character 2 years prior to The Magic Egg. Live-action films such as Star Wars began using computer-generated graphics for small animations such as the Death Star plans, and films such as Willow began using them for limited special effects in the late 1970s and 80s. And in 1984, a company that would become Pixar released their first 3D animated short film, The Adventures of Andre and Wally B. This short was important as it pioneered many 3D film techniques, And it also marked the first time that traditional animation techniques described in the 12 Principles of Animation were used to a wide extent in a 3D project. Then, in 1995, the first film to be done entirely using 3D animation, or CGI, was released. Toy Story. Computers have become an irreplaceable tool in every form of animation. For animation that mirrors the traditional works of Walt Disney and Hanna-Barbera, images are created on computers or tablets, and instead of using layers of cells to create and move characters, we use digital layers to swap, change, and adjust drawings with ease. Rigging technology also dramatically changed how animation is made, because just like how there are bones and muscles which move around our body, we can place something called an armature on something like a character's arm or head and use it to move, rotate, and scale the drawings. Most animation that we see today is done through something called 3D animation or sculpted animation, which works very differently from cell-drawn traditional animation. Instead of a character being drawn, outlined in ink, and colored, in a 3D computer software, a character is sculpted in a way very similar to claymation or real sculptures. Then, the sculpture is simplified and redone through a process called retopology to work better during the animation. Then, lines which are invisible to the audience are drawn all over the character to create what's called UV maps, which allows us to color and detail the character's appearance very similar to how you would, say, paint a toy. Finally, once the character is fully made and colored, a technical artist rigs the character to an armature so it can be animated like a puppet or stop-motion character. Once the process is done, that character will not need to be remade like how hand-drawn characters need to be redrawn each frame. 3D animation, in many ways, is actually much faster than traditional animation. Backgrounds can be constructed and then viewed from any angle. Animators can more easily fix and tweak poses and movements. Furthermore, the programs that run 3D animation are so advanced that nowadays we can make animations that look like real life. It can be used for special effects in live-action movies. It can create creatures such as the Balrog, a towering beast that Gandalf battles in the 2001 movie The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. And it can be used for entire animated films as well, for say, the Lion King remake in 2019. However, this then creates a really big question. If sculpted and rigged animation created in 3D software is so much faster, cheaper, and more technologically powerful than traditional animation, will 2D animation go away forever? Well, not really. While big companies will always be making fancier programs and stronger technology, I don't think audiences will ever lose their love of the classic works which made animation what it is today. In 2020, a film titled Wolfwalkers was released, which used 3D models to help plan and shape some of their more complex scenes, but primarily used sketched and charcoal art on paper for backgrounds with hand-drawn animated characters. Movies such as The Wild Robot, Flow, and Into the Spider-Verse also use art styles which resemble paintings, comics, and the classic cartoons many grew up with. From Light in a Box, chalkboard art, cartoons with sound, with color, in theaters, on TV, drawn flat or sculpted round, as long as we never forget where we started and why we started loving art, there will always be a need for talented and passionate artists. And whether it's done on pen and paper or keyboard and mouse, there is something that always draws us back to the magic in animation. That's all the time that we have for today. We've only got one more song left, and it's You've Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman from Toy Story. So we're gonna have to catch you for another edition of the Children's Hour. Thanks for listening.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy, and as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode of the Children's Hour was written and produced by our junior producer and intern, Daniel Lentz, with production help from me, Katie Stone, and Sarah Gabrielli. You can find pictures, our full playlist, links, and so much more at childrenshour.org. Look for animation.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.